Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to what we're calling, or what we're seeing, is a rapidly expanding Corn Nation podcast network of sorts. You already have the Big Red Cobcast every week, and now episode number 6 of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Corn Nation, as well in conjunction, we will say, with the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. And speaking of the Jittery Monkeys, as they are, we sent you over to the Facebook page a few weeks back, and we said, you know, vote with your likes, with the little clicks of the mouse, and tell us which sketch you like better. And that's going to be turned into the Five Heart Podcast logo by my good friend Joe Dodd, who is a comic book artist, is working currently for Hasbro, and he is the official artist of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. And I have seen some more progress images of essentially this gorilla type ape, and he's throwing the bones. It looks I'm astounded. It looks fantastic. As soon as that is a fully formed, complete image with title and everything, you will see it. Make sure that you go like the Five Heart Podcast on Facebook. As I am Greg Mahochko, joined as always by my good friend and co-host and broadcast buddy, Brian Toll. Brian, episode 6, and Nebraska's 5-0 heading into the bye.
Ooh, we're the worst 5-0 team in North America.
I don't think you can say that.
No, everybody else says that.
Who is saying that?
Oh, we can't start a game right. We're so bad on defense. Top 15 scoring defense, top 30 total defense in America. Oh, we wait too long to go. Second best fourth quarter team in America. Oh, you know, 5-0, we shouldn't be ranked this high. Everybody else in front of us fails and everything, and we won all our games, all we can do. Well, we're the worst 5-0 team known to mankind.
All right, unless
back at the last year where we were 2-3 and we lost on a last second TD to a team that went through two head coaches in 6 months. Yes, let's by all means go back to that.
And we also, let's not forget, we also lost on a Hail Mary.
Lost in overtime to a team that fired their coach.
Yeah. So let's, since you brought it up, let's talk about the other undefeated teams that are in the top 25. And I'm on ESPN.com, so I'm actually going off the AP's list, but they're the same undefeated teams regardless of which list you look at. And again, these are just the top 25. But Alabama's 5-0, Ohio State's 4-0. You can make the claim that Ohio State's the best 4-0 team in the country right now. Moving on, Clemson's 5-0, Michigan 5-0, Washington 5-0, and Houston 5-0. Houston, by the way, is 6 in the AP top 25 and 5 in the coaches poll. They are ahead of Washington in the coaches poll, and the other way around in the AP. But the top 4 are all the same in both polls, which SEC folks, you'll notice that there are two Big Ten teams in the top 4 and only one SEC team in the top 7. Then you get into A&M and Tennessee, but well, moving on. So Texas A&M 5-0, Tennessee is 5-0, Miami is 4-0, Nebraska, of course, is 5-0, Baylor 5-0, Boise State 4-0, West Virginia 4-0. And here's a fun one for you. Western Michigan is 5-0 and is number 25 in the coaches poll. So would you really say that we're the worst 5-0 team?
Oh, this fan base. They know better. We're the worst 5-0 team in America. Oh, I don't know how we're going to make it. We're not even going to make a bowl game. Oh my gosh, this defense can't stop nobody. Oh,
well, I mean, according to
never called a good game. Tommy Armstrong just throws interception after interception.
According to based on last year's I don't want to say. Qualifications, I guess. We're already bowl eligible, based on 2015 qualifications. But that's not where we're still. Honestly, I'm really thrilled with how the Huskers are playing this year, and I alluded to it in my preseason predictions, and of course we just had our midseason roundtable that is not yet. Well, when's that supposed to be published, Brian?
Whatever, we fire Mike Riley because we're clearly not a great team.
Okay. Serious question though. Since you got your thumb on the pulse of all the publishing on coordination.com, ballpark, do you know? I mean, by the time that this episode drops Friday, will the midseason roundtable have dropped?
Not happening. Oh. Not until like Saturday.
Okay. So anyway, spoiler alert: when you see the midseason roundtable, you're going to, I doubled down essentially on my preseason prediction, which was lower expectations leads to lower disappointment. And I couple that by saying that I'm pretty excited about this. I mean, we've got some games up ahead that, are going to be difficult. We know we've got to go to Madison. We know we've got to go to Columbus. And I'll tell you what, Maryland is not looking like a bad football team. And I don't think we could say that a year ago.
They're one of those teams that can beat up everybody else, and then all of a sudden we get their really good team. Seems like they're kind of foldy, not grady type of thing. I'm sure they're like a good 7-5, 8-4 team, but I don't know how good they are, especially on the road when they have to go to Lincoln. So
I mean, we'll obviously cross that bridge, and of course that will be after games at Wisconsin and Ohio State, but. You know, we still have – we go to Indiana and Purdue at home. We have a tussle with Minnesota, and then we
– Indiana's a Bloomington, I thought.
Hmm?
Indiana's a Bloomington, sir.
What did I say?
You said at home.
No, I thought I said Rutgers at home.
No, we don't play Rutgers this year, sir.
I mean, not Rutgers, Purdue. What?
Purdue's at home. You said both Indiana and Purdue at home.
Okay, well – you're right. Indiana game is at Bloomington. Purdue is at home. A tussle with Minnesota. We got to go on the road into those tough places. As I mentioned, Maryland's at home, and then Iowa. I don't want to again, spoil the midseason roundtable post, but let's go back before we start looking too far ahead, because this is the bye week, so we've got a little extra time to talk about some stuff. But let's go back to this past Saturday, and it's going to sound odd, and a lot of people who listen be like, really? He got excited about that? But how glorious it was to beat the Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois, because I'm in Illinois, and I was at that game last year when we lost 10 seconds left. I've been saying it, for a better part of a month now, but Tommy's making much better decisions, and there was no, third down, pass the ball, give it away type of situation that stops the clock, that sets, the opposition up there. Yes, it was a slow start. I'll take that back. It was a very quick start, followed by a very slow period in the middle, and then a dominating second half when you can put a 19-20 play drive together and eat up that much clock, you're going to be successful.
It's a good plan, especially when the last, 26 minutes of the game, the other team has 10 plays.
In 3 minutes or something like that?
It's like 4:30, something like that. 4 minutes, 10 seconds. I mean, Nebraska ran 33-34 plays compared to 10 for Illinois. And I think the big thing is that 18-play drive kind of, I don't know if it took the wind out of Illinois, but it kind of just gave Nebraska's defense a chance to maybe just, like, you know, regroup. Because I think even if Nebraska isn't successful in that 4th-and-1, which honestly I don't think they were, but I'm not going to tell them no. I think Nebraska does get the 3-and-out and get the ball right back, and then it doesn't really matter.
Let's the cliche that's oftentimes overused. So here I am going to add a tally to that. But seems like that, you know, that clock chewing, you know, ground and pound drive that they had, possession, I should say, was, again, the cliche is kind of broke their will of the Illini. And I did not think very highly of Illinois at all, you know, before their trip to Lincoln. But I, after the game, I had a bit more respect. Their defense is better, I think, than we gave them credit for coming in.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, they weren't bad. I mean, we knew defensive line-wise, Illinois would be great. I think the fact that we lost so many guys, I mean, I think Carter's blocking was really something that Nebraska missed, and they don't want to admit it, especially on the edge, because it seemed like, you know, without Farmer, you can kind of lean back. Without Carter on that edge, kind of helping set – Ethan Carter keys a lot of plays. I think people realize this all of a sudden when he – you don't have that, you know, that playbook probably shrinks up a little more than they wish to do, honestly. So,
And we'll talk about – the injuries, because there was no shortage of them, and heading into the bye, there no shortage of Huskers that need to get healthy. But let's talk about Terrell Newby, given kind of an opportunity after, and I don't know, I think the announcers made a bigger deal of it. I think they said that he was in the doghouse after the Northwestern game, and I don't know. I mean, every indication that I heard about, you know, that opening drive fumble crossing the goal line, Mike Riley called that, you know, essentially a hustle play and an aggressive play, and you know, those are the types of mistakes, I guess. If you're going to make mistakes, be it on the aggressive end rather than, you know, like a Jake Cotton trying his very best to hold his balance and then falling backwards for a false start type of thing. By the way, that's still fun to watch. Anyway, so I don't think he was as much in the doghouse, but Divine Ozigbo's been so stable, you know, that when Oz, I think, as you like to call him, I still like to call him Ozigbo, when he's, you know, feeling it, you got to keep, you know, feeding the big man. But Newbie comes in, and I really, you know, granted the circumstances, Wilbon still has a case of the dropsies, and Ozigbo with the rolled ankle. But Newbie comes in, and we see some of that, you know, that ability that we'd all always kind of knew was there but never really manifested itself. Does that make sense?
I think it does. Something I kind of looked up, a funny thing, because you kind of look at, you know, you kind of always peek at the stats to see who's doing what, you know, through the season so far. And something kind of shakes out to you. Divine Ozigbo and Terrell Newbie have Ozigbo has 17 more carries than Terrell up to this point in the season.
Okay. Up to the Illinois game or up to right now, yeah. Currently?
Up to right now.
Okay.
Up to right now. Terrell Newbie has more yards. 327 to 318.
See, I would not have guessed it, but I guess it's
now
he gets more space, has more bigger plays, I guess.
Maybe. Now, that means Terrell Newbie has 1.3 yards more average. Divine Ozigbo's longest run this year is 17 yards.
And Newbie's, of course, was the
63-yarder.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And that was that was just a fun run to watch. And I'm watching that, and it's almost like when you watch that, did it look like everything was kind of going in slow motion?
You're actually kind of waiting to see, okay, some safety's going to come catch him, some corner's going to catch him, all of a sudden, like, well, no, I guess not, huh?
Well, I just remember as he turned the corner and started moving north and south, you know, and as I'm looking at that, he just kind of was very patient, didn't try to force anything up the middle, waited to get around the edge, but it just seemed like, you know, maybe we're used to the quote-unquote speed of the game, but I thought that, you know, he took his time, and then as soon as he turned upfield, he turned on the jets, and obviously nobody caught him.
Now, another funny thing here. Nebraska has run 292 plays.
Are you going to the run-to-pass ratio?
I am.
Is this going to make run the dadgum ball guy happy?
No, I'm sorry. I'm totally wrong on this. Oh. Nebraska has run 373 plays.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm doing math here.
Uh-oh.
Runs, rushes, 237.
It's 237 now. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm yawning. It's late.
But 237 passes.
It runs about 140, give or take.
135 passes.
So run the dadgum ball guy is pretty stinking happy right now.
Now, kicker about this.
I thought you were going to talk about Drew Brown.
No.
When you said kicker, and kicker
the
opponent, you.
Nebraska's opponents, okay, they've ran the ball 157 times, have thrown the ball 159 times. Remember last year it was kind of everybody was just wanting to throw on Nebraska?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. That's just kind of interesting to me how everything's kind of spaced out all of a sudden.
You can't. You know? There's no – I mean, you can't rely on, I guess, subpar – second, you know, defensive secondary play to be successful. You can't rely on a defensive front to be soft. From an opposition standpoint, I see exactly what you're saying. They can't throw the ball 45, 50, 60 times a game knowing that our defense is weak because, I mean, our secondary is weak. I don't think our secondary is weak. I think they've proven that through five games. The turnover margin is plus six for the Huskers, and that's tied for 23rd in the country. But there's, you know, a bunch of teams bunched in there. So defensively, I'm really pleased with how – I think we had a lot of question marks, especially up front, because we replaced essentially the defensive line. I thought that the linebacking core would come in and – be the most experienced. Would you say that through five games, Brian, that are they the difference makers on the defense, or would you, you know, put like, you know, the Nate Garys, the Joshua Kalus, the Lamar Jacksons, you know, like maybe the secondary or the guys up front who are, because again, I do think that this is a solid defensive line and overall a pretty deep, pretty good defensive unit. What was the stat you said earlier about scoring defense?
Top 20 team in scoring defense?
Yeah. So
okay. Who's been the best, who's had the most tackles on the defensive line this year, do you think?
I know who I want to say.
Say who you want to say, jerk.
I want to say the man with the smoothest mustache. And that's Ross DeZurgis. But it's probably, is it?
It is.
Yeah, you know what he is. He's a five hard guy.
You know, the funny thing is he's top one of the top five in America on tackles for loss. He's has seven tackles for loss.
You say he is one of the top five?
Top five, top ten, something like that. Mm-hmm. The two biggest tacklers in the secondary?
I would say Kalu.
Williams and Nate Gary.
Oh, yeah. Kyron Williams, yeah. And Gary's just, I mean, he plays that style that, you know, allows him to get all over the field.
Yeah, I think so. I think also the thing is Nebraska's run a lot of secondaries, safeties down to the box to help that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a fair statement. Let's say sacks. Who has the most sacks on the team?
Ooh. Freedom?
No.
Kevin Maurice?
No.
Nate Gary?
No.
Ross DeZuris?
Ross DeZuris. 3.5 sacks.
Well, you know, he's got 7 tackles for a loss, so I should have led with him, but I thought you were throwing me a trick question.
Dude, come on. So bye week.
Well, before we get to bye week, let's cap off the discussion about Illinois.
Yeah.
At any point in that game, were you, as a Nebraska fan, were you concerned?
At 16-10, when they couldn't move the ball, when it seemed like they couldn't move the ball. I think that's fair.
Now, they came out, let's see if I remember correctly, they kicked to Illinois to start the second half, and Illinois went down. That's when they went down and kicked the field goal, correct?
Yeah.
So, obviously, the defense did well enough because those 3 field goals could have easily been 2 touchdowns and a field goal, and it's a different ballgame.
Because think about this. Before the 3 straight touchdown drives, Nebraska fumbled again.
That was the Wilbon.
It was Wilbon fumble, you're right. And Illinois converted the points off turnovers.
3.
So,
and that's when they kicked off, and that's what started the 18, 19, 20, depending on, you know, what analysis you're looking at, play drive that chewed up the clock and set things in motion. I mean, a lot of people might think that score turned the tide of the momentum, but I thought that the length of that drive got the crowd back into the ball game. And you know, Mighty Mo started working back to Nebraska even before the points got on the board.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it also helped that, you know, the defense was off the field for 40 minutes.
Yep.
And it was going to be easier for them to get on than Illinois. But I think also another thing is Illinois kind of played so my dog would agree. Illinois kind of played
my dogs are asleep.
Illinois kind of played the hoping. It seemed like Illinois played hoping in that last 20 minutes that they're hoping Nebraska made another mistake, you know. Really, if you think about it. And what did they do when it got to 17-16? The play calling pretty much went to Lunt.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's not who you. I mean, no. I guess no offense to the guy because he's, you know, he's a college kid, but that's not anybody that he's criticized in Illinois for his leadership or lack thereof. He's not because he's not a very emotional leader. He doesn't. Get in, and I don't mean get in their face in a negative way, but he's not like to the point where, you know, some media in this area question his passion, you know, but it's just that his personality is, you know, he's a quieter guy. I think that in a situation like that, you better, you know, take some, drink some ski, get a little caffeine, a little energy, and
we better be getting some free stuff.
I drink ski every day. Does that count? I get the free.
That's what I said. We should be getting some free stuff.
We should. I don't even get my ski for free. Sorry,
I won't. But you will.
But so I mean, I don't know. It's they needed to if I'm Illinois, I'm going to go back to what was working, and what was working was running the ball. You know, I mean, they have a couple of good little running backs. I don't know why they didn't try going back to that unless they felt panicked like now, they had to score quicker.
You say that, but Illinois really didn't have that good of an offensive game. You know, they ran for 124, they ran passed for 146. In the whole grand scheme of things, that's not great. They were 2 for 9 on third down. You know, like I said, Sunday in the MVP piece, Nebraska had no penalties in the second half. I only had at least, if I remember right, three in the second half. Yeah, the two on the saving drive because they had the PI on the fourth down, the horse collar on the third down. You know, and that's one of those things like, you know, when you walk the batter with two outs, you probably deserve what you're going to get no matter what. So when you give up two, when you can't get off the field twice because you commit penalties, the PI, yeah, I think it was pass interference. I mean, you could maybe not argue the horse collar was dumb because he wasn't going to get to the
back to the line of scrimmage at all. No,
no, no chance. So why do you take him down like that when you're in full view of the referee?
Yeah,
that was just dumb to me.
That one was that Hardy Nickerson or was that that wasn't Smoot? I don't think.
I can look it up real quick.
It's not that important, to be honest with you. And most of the people listening to this probably don't remember their names. And that's not a knock. It's just, you know, we're kind of the fun thing about being a Nebraska fan is sometimes
the Clemens kid.
Oh, okay. But like I was saying, the fun thing about being a Nebraska fan is sometimes we can just be in our own little world, our own little bubble, and you know, like again, going back to, you know, comments made earlier about the SEC, is I couldn't tell you any players' names on Alabama. I couldn't do it. Maybe that's partial ignorance, partial willful ignorance, but there's nobody down there that I deem important enough to know right now.
Yeah, you'd appreciate some of those guys, I'm just saying. Anyway.
Yeah, they're not in the right color red.
Anyhow.
But that goes for, you know, a lot of – I just use them as an example, but, you know, it's a lot of – anyway, so let's talk real quick about some key injuries. Seathan Carter – obviously we talked about and as much as, you know, people think about his play ability, you know, from the passing game, as you mentioned, his edge blocking was sorely missed and looks like it's going to be missed for the Indiana game as well.
Yeah. It sounds like I thought it was a leg thing going to happen when, of course, it didn't. But it was more like a shoulder, arm, elbow thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to be missed. Farmer sounds like he's probably going to be back. They want to get him back. Alonzo, I think passing-wise, Alonzo's – you know, everybody calls Western Camp their big play receiver. But Alonzo's
– honestly, this year – here's the thing – what I like about Westerkamp is, you know, he's big play in a different way. If you want to stretch the field, if you want to take that big throw down the field this season, it seems like Alonzo Moore's been that guy. If you need to get to the sticks and it's third or fourth down, you know where Tommy's going with the ball if number one is on the field, because I don't know if you know this or not, Brian, but they're roommates.
Oh, shut up.
And they have that bond, that chemistry.
Shut up.
I stopped saying the word roommate a few seconds ago. Anyway.
You know how Alonzo's averaging per catch?
I would imagine it's probably 33.
Close, 25 yards a catch.
Man.
Jordan Westerkamp is averaging 17. No one else is. Oh, take that back. You know what Brandon Riley's averaging? 24.
Yeah, but the only problem is that Brandon Riley only has about four catches.
He does, four catches.
Is that what it is?
Exactly what it is.
Hot dog. So that's somebody I'd like to see used a little bit more, especially in these times where, you know, Jordan Westerkamp's not going to be dressing. Let's talk about that, because that was not the first time in that Illinois game that Jordan got hit and, you know, came off the field. It looked like earlier in the game it was an ankle issue or something like that. It looks like they might have taped him up, but this on the big drive that we've talked about ad nauseum gets a knee into the back. I mean, what were your thoughts? I mean, I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor. What was the worst case scenario going through your mind? Because I thought I saw somebody on the Slack or maybe somebody on Twitter say like, "Oh, might be a lacerated kidney."
I don't know how you can lacerate a kidney with a knee to it.
I don't know. Unless you push it into a rib or something.
Only thing I thought of is, man, it probably hurts when he pees now, but, you know. But, yeah.
Here's the thing. Most college kids probably have a burning sensation when they pee, so.
He's gone through a lot of shit, you know. Yeah. He really has.
I love that kid.
You love that kid? I'll just goof. Anyway, he's gone through a lot of shit.
Yeah, no. But was taken to the hospital. Reports indicate he probably went to the hospital before the game ended.
Yeah, more likely.
And was released, obviously, later in the day. The reports of his untimely demise were false.
Whoever did that can...
You can say it. You can say it. You can tell them exactly what they can eat.
They can lick a
don't do
dead
that.
Man's
don't,
balls.
Don't take that from me.
Like, he can lick a...
I set you up, and all you have to do is say, person who did that can eat a bag of dicks, and you couldn't even do that.
See, I get creative. Like, they can rub their taint with some vinegar and bleach stored together and go rub it against a porcupine's butt, but hey, that's just me.
Why don't you throw in a skunk spray for good measure?
Nah.
Oh, jeez. But yeah, they're... One of those, I don't even know what kind of scam site, bot site, something like that. I saw this earlier in the week, and I put it in the Slack page. I'm like, I know this isn't true, but it said that, you know, he had succumbed to his injuries. And then the first thing that I did is I looked on social media. I looked on Twitter, went to his account, and saw that he had retweeted a teammate, you know, 40 minutes prior. I'm like, well, unless he's doing some deathbed retweeting, I'm pretty sure Jordan Westerkamp's not dead.
Whoever did that can just... He can drink Cobby's bathwater. How about that?
Oh, jeez. Had to take it there, didn't you?
Hey, we're going to get dirty. Let's get dirty.
Coronation after dark.
you know what started this week?
What starts this week?
You know what started this week?
What started this week?
Nebraska ball.
That's right. Do we want to talk about that?
Poor
dumb bastard.
Who, you or me?
The 10-11 contest.
No, let's not talk about that.
Well, let's mention it.
No, I'm not mentioning it.
Fine.
La, 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 la.
All right.
Somebody lost their job. There's no reason to tease them over it.
It was a stupid, stupid thing to do, and he should know better.
If you guys are wondering what we have, you have Google. Use it. I think what's going to happen this year with the basketball, and Tim kind of mentioned this in his preseason presser before they go to media days. Nebraska set this schedule to be like pretty beefy when they had a pretty good roster, thinking they'd have Andrew White, thinking that, you know, he'd be a leader, and
that now that bleeper not, Andrew White.
This now that they're not here, the schedule looks like a hangman's special.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't hold any animosity towards Andrew White. I'm just
you're lying sack of shit.
I really don't. It's the same with Kevin Williams.
Now, here's the thing with Kevin. I kind of, as much as people bitch and moan about Kevin Williams, I get it to a fault. But you know what with Kevin? The reason I don't feel bad for Kevin is because, and this is what I've been told by
his
a few
team's
people,
3-2.
That, well, not even that. It's not even that. They could be 5-0. But the point is this: Kevin was a pain in the ass to people at Nebraska. And everybody tried to make him happy, I suppose you could say.
Mm.
Or at least tolerate it. You know, Kevin could have – if Kevin hangs, he starts this year. He straight up starts this year.
I do believe that.
He probably gets – he wanted to go a spot, and yeah, Michigan State, in the whole grand scheme of things, puts more guys on the defensive line lately than they have for Nebraska. I'll live with that. But guess what? He's not even a starter there. You know? He's a rotational guy. He'd probably get more snaps. He would probably got more snaps than Lincoln. When Nebraska does that little 30 front on third down, he's probably the guy that would have been in there, not Kevin Maurice. Okay. I don't feel bad for him in that way. If he gets drafted, great. Wonderful. If he doesn't get drafted, well, tough luck. Go see what you can do.
CFL,
shit, Arena.
Do they still have Arena?
They do.
Okay.
And he'd be a perfect guy in the Arena.
All right, but anyway, we're getting off topic here, because...
But with Andrew, you know, don't lie. Don't have your dad lie. Don't have yourself lie. Don't, you know, there was a story, what was it, late last week? About, I went to so many schools. No, you didn't.
It was the, because it came from...
I have a hard time believing that there was any other school besides Syracuse.
Well, he went to...
I kind of believe Michigan State a little bit, I guess, because he probably went there and, you know, it's a leverage thing, but...
Michigan State, I think, was Miami one that got in the mention.
VCU.
And then they used a picture from a few months prior of him shooting hoops at Richmond with his brother, but at the end, you know, Syracuse went out. Good for them, but yeah.
And VCU and Richmond actually made sense because that's where he's from.
Right. Well, and VCU is down the road, too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he wants to go probably where he thinks he has a shot to win a championship. And so be it, you know. But
that's fine. Just say that. You know, everybody's going to get mad at that, okay? Everybody would get mad at that, but they'd much get over it easier if they say, hey, listen, I know I'm going to be a starter. I know I'm going to be one of the focal points. I want to go somewhere I can win a ring, you know, maybe get in the end, have a better chance in the NBA. That's fine. Admit that. Just be honest. Don't give me the, well, yeah, I've been kind of uncomfortable and, you know, I don't know what the vision of the staff was. The vision of the staff
was going to kind of be around you.
It was going to ride you like a goddamn secretariat. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that you had no idea what the staff was. You could walk in and say anything with the staff. You know? I
understand what you're saying.
Don't bullshit us.
And I think what made so many Nebraska ball fans so upset was the time of it. Why wait until June?
Exactly.
You know, that hurts us quite a bit. And you know what? If you're cutting ties, burning bridges, and skipping town, you don't care what hurts or what affects how it affects Nebraska. But he was on the team for 2 years, right? He had to sit 1 year because of NCAA rules and then played last year.
Yeah.
So those are 2 years of teammates, you know, your brothers on the court that you know you went to battle with, practiced with, saw every day for 2 years, and you kind of left them high and dry. And again, maybe this is my reasoning thinking he cared. Maybe he didn't care. I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't have any animosity toward him. I feel bad for the guys left behind who were caught in the wake of this, and now, you know, it puts a good guy like Tim Miles on a hot seat. It really does.
When he came back from the draft, if he had said at that second, well, I'm not going to come back to Nebraska, I want to go somewhere else, I'd probably live with that.
That's probably, what, April?
Yeah-ish. Yeah. I mean, I can look it up, but that's what it is. But if he says that, you're upset, but you're going to be like, you know, you're good. Okay. Because at the time we were just thinking, well, life without him, you know, it won't be great, but we'll get over it. You know, all of a sudden, we got it back. Now we can, now you're thinking.
Oh, wow. The draft was at the end of June too.
Yeah, well, he had to pull back like a couple weeks before that. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not even so much the fan base of the team. I mean, there's Lee Barfnik, you know, that, hey, Dad hit me up to try to find me a PR firm for the kid. Heck, kid hadn't played a damn game in Lincoln yet. You know, Rosenthal, when he worked for the Journal Star before he moved to the Nebraska AD. All these guys tried to give him out, say, hey, you know, tell your side of the story. They ignored him. All of a sudden, 2 weeks later, well, you know, some unsavory stuff came out about me. You could have controlled that, you know. The one thing about Nebraska basketball is you can get a hold, you know, if you're on that team or you're in that program, you can get a hold of who covers you real easily.
Yeah.
Okay, they can get a hold of us.
They really could. speaking of, and this is, pardon the pun, but this is jumping off the rails a little bit. Do you want to talk about Purdue and the cluster? No. I mean, we don't have to talk about Purdue, but you know, from I guess what we're trying to say is, hey, if you're a former Nebraska student athlete and you just want to talk about your experiences as a student athlete, let myself or Brian know. We'd be more than happy to have you as a guest on the Five Heart Podcast.
You know what I want to talk about?
More about the Illinois game.
This really cool truck I saw today.
About what?
About this cool truck I saw today.
Okay.
It's this new, maybe you heard of it, the Chevrolet truck.
Oh, dude.
It's this Army truck.
I'm going to punch you.
Are you?
Is it the one that looks like the Rolling Turd?
It's not a rolling turd.
It's a rolling turd, and the blind spots on that are stupid.
Well,
I'd like to talk to you about a different type of truck, actually. I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. I'd like to talk to you about a 2016 Ram 1500 quad cab, 4x4, 20% off MSRP. It's on the lot right now. Give me a call. I'll make a deal.
I get 5% if somebody does it.
What? Yeah. 5% of my piddly. Okay, 5%, fine. I'll give you $5.
So that's. Yeah. Just send me the ski wheel grid.
Okay, I'll send you some ski.
So, anyway, wrapping this up, because let's keep it underneath an hour today.
We're almost to the 45 minute mark, believe it or not. So, bye week this week. What do we need? I guess we need to mention that since we recorded last, the Nebraska women's volleyball team lost at home, which is kind of unheard of. Of course, the first loss they've had all season long. So
they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Although it was really cute to see somebody say, "Oh, Nebraska lost tonight. Has John Cook lost his way? And should he leave Lincoln?" And I'm like, "You used oxygen to say that."
He just brought Nebraska a major national championship, and I say major not to diminish other national championships that Nebraska
has won. Supposed to be minor national championships?
Hmm.
Suppose there's minor national championships.
Well, there are ones that you don't hear about as often. We hear about football, men's and women's basketball, volleyball, baseball, and maybe softball. There's a lot of national. There's a lot of national championships that don't get any press. You know, we try to talk about them here. Of course, not to use this phrase again, but you do have your thumb on the pulse of the bowling community.
Jesus.
But and by the way, I just want to say, I don't know if you heard it in the off season, but I've been listening and getting caught up on podcasts in my new job with my little commute. And over the summer, I think it was over the summer, the Bob Wilfong, the Big Red Cobcast, had on the bowling coach for the University of Nebraska. So
he did?
Yeah.
I thought you're going to have to link that for me. I haven't heard that one. I want to hear that.
I will.
Could he have Bill or Paul?
Is
it Klumper or is it Bill Straub?
You talk and I'll find.
Talk, talk, talk. Talk, talk, talk. Greg will sell you one of these Chevys today, the new Army truck. Just ask him.
I'm not going to.
He will.
No, I'm not.
He'd sell you a marker if he made $5 off of it.
I'm not. Why would I do that?
You know what Greg's going to do? He's going to cheer for the Rangers.
Sure.
Because that's not American if he doesn't, because they're playing the Blue Jays.
What happens? But if, now, wait a minute. In all curiosity.
The Rangers are the one team that Cubs can beat. I mean, they can beat the Cubs.
This is their only hope.
This is
all I'm going to say. And I want you to take this very seriously.
Oh, God.
Out of all the teams that are still playing in the Major League Baseball postseason, there's only one that I absolutely positively do not want to win.
That's the Cubs.
And that's the Cubs.
Because if they get through the even year magic of the Giants, boy, Nats ain't doing it. Nats and Dodgers ain't doing it.
Dodgers,
no way.
If
you had Strasburg, I'd be like, okay.
This is what I want. This is going to be the most American World Series of ever. And this will be more American than the Yankees Mets in 2001.
What?
I was going to say the Nationals versus the Rangers. How could you not love America during that World Series?
Man, you know what would happen then? You know what would start all of a sudden?
Montreal would petition to have the Expos back?
No, but if you think about it, it probably happened. If you knew how much hate Washington and Dallas give each other when the Cowboys and the Redskins play.
Yeah.
Oh, they're a bit of
they're a bit of a rival.
Oh. Oh my God.
So
that'd be the most epic.
Did I not make you so happy with that?
I want to see you Darvish knee buckle Bryce Harper once. Ooh.
Yeah, well, obviously you want to see that, but would it happen?
I suppose it could.
You know what I want to see, Brian?
You know, nobody's talking about the Rangers in the AL. Everybody's all Red Sox, Red Sox, Red Sox. And I'm like, who finished with the better record? I think the Red Sox won the season series by a game. No, I take that back. The Rangers won the season series because they had the tiebreaker over Boston and Cleveland in the race for best record in the league. So, and while Boston can score at will, and I give them full credit on that, then two things happen. One, Texas's bullpen all of a sudden got really good the last week and a half of the season. And two, Texas's luck in one-run games is sickening. Sickening. So,
but would they all be one-run games?
If that's the case, Texas will play that series 9 times out of 10 and probably think they win. Because ask the Astros what happens when you try to get into a one-run fest with the Rangers this year. The reason the Astros are not in the postseason is because of the Rangers killing them in one-run games just totally through the year, but even in one-run games at the year. You know, so for some reason, and the Rangers have been really, really good this year when it comes to comfort behind wins and one-run runs. And just it could be luck. And Texas might just get three barbecued by Toronto this set. But to be fair, this is a season that Texas didn't think they're going to have this year. So, I mean, they had a lot of broken parts. You know, Ian Desmond, who was looking to be getting a max contract from Texas now, might get re-signed. A guy like Jonathan Lucroy. Jonathan Lucroy has done, like, wonders with the – with the pitching staff in Texas. It is sickening to have a catcher now.
He's not in Milwaukee anymore?
No, they traded for him, sir.
All right, fair enough. So that's how much I didn't follow baseball this year. Go ahead.
Texas has three or four seventh, eighth inning guys. They got two guys that could pull closer duty and Sam Dyson. And if you really wanted it, Jake Diekman from Wymore, Nebraska. So
this is just how much I didn't follow baseball this year for whatever reason. I don't know. But what I can tell you is that, in Big Red Cobcast episode 111, It's titled Hijacked Part 2, and it is it's part 2 of the interview with Greg Sharp, of course, voice of the Huskers, and then Bob Wilfong has on Bill Straub.
I have to listen to that.
You do. I'm about to send you a link so you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, okay.
About finding it. I mean, of course, it is on coronation.com. If you use the search function, and what I did is I typed in Cobcast 111, but I'm just going to send you, Brian, because I like you. I'm just going to send you the iTunes link, by the way. The Big Red Cobcast is on iTunes, as is the Five Heart Podcast. So this is.
All right, since everybody's turned it off, so let's finish it up. So
not everybody.
Everybody's turned it off.
I mean, you know, there's that one person who's hanging out because they're loyal.
They're not, but let's turn it off.
All right, so this is episode 6. We'll be back next week when we'll have something to talk about because Huskers have the week off, and maybe we'll take – no, we won't take a week off. Indiana's next, but that's a week away. And enjoy the bye week and enjoy your weekend and find some good food to have this weekend. That's all I got to say, Brian.
Watch Texas OU this weekend.
Is it already Red River weekend?
11 a.m. Down the fairgrounds.
You think that one's going to be the game day?
I don't know who's game day this week. I haven't really paid attention. I kind of checked out after Sunday. Not that personal, but when bye week comes, guys, yeah, I check out for a week.
All right.
Because ask Greg, I do a lot.
Brian's very busy. He's our.
I make everybody look really good.
He makes me look really good.
Yeah, God.
Really good. But anyway, thanks to Brian as always for joining me, and it's bedtime here in the Central Time Zone. Thanks to John Johnston for putting up with all of us crazy hooligans on Coronation, and this has been episode number 6 of the.
Six.
That's what I said. Six.
Six.
Six of the five.
Heart,
seven.
Seven. We'll hit the extra point next week.
Yeah, unlike Oregon or Texas.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-tsh. Just remember, folks, I say it always, and I'll say it often. Five heart is all the heart you need. Have a great week, and go Big Red.
Goodbye.
This has been a production of CoronNation.com. For more, like Coronation on Facebook, follow Coronation on Twitter, and bookmark Coronation.com in your favorite browser.